stand on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
Welcome to Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. We made it through OTAs. We made it through training camp. We made it through the preseason. And ladies, we are now in the regular season. Jacksonville taking on Philly on Sunday, a game in the books. Didn't quite play out the way that we had hoped. If we could have called it after the first half, I think everyone would have been fine with that.
But Lauren,
regular, yeah, exactly. We win. Regular season football is finally here.
It is. By the way, when do we start singing the song as the intro to come in? Because something bad did happen in the second half. I was devastated. It was awful. I was watching it with a girlfriend and her son, and he is 1 year old. He was very happy during the first half when we were happy. And the second half, everything changed, and he really started crying a lot. So I think he even felt the downtroddenness, if that's a word, that we were feeling.
It's a word now.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked forward all preseason, all offseason and preseason, to Chris Clemens, and I thought he made a name for himself on the defensive line. And Sendarek Marks played really well. And then, for some reason, we just couldn't really get pressure in the second half, and it was devastating to me. And those drops will haunt me. I don't know. I'm sure if you're a wide receiver and you miss one of those balls, you just replay it in your mind for the next couple days, even though you're trying to get past it. I know it has to be in there somewhere. That's how I felt that night when I went to bed. I kept replaying the Mercedes Lewis drop. And not that it was Mercedes' fault, not that it was Chad Henne's fault, but I kept replaying it in my mind, like, if only we had caught that. So, Donna, just take me out of my misery.
I was so excited. I was so excited. I'm like, it's kickoff. I think they're going to be good. Oh, my gosh. And
Jessica picked them to win all 16 right? games, and we're only in week 16. One.
Yeah, we're heading to the playoffs. That's all you need to know. But, man, the first half, you were so impressed with that defense. You were just so impressed. Like, oh. And then all of a sudden, the second half came around. You're like, well, maybe Philly was just that bad in the first half, or were we that good? You never know which one was more dominant over the other, but it was so disappointing and so heartbreaking. But I was really impressed with Henne, with the rookie wide receivers. I mean, Allen Hurns, what a stud. By the way, I tried to get him on the waiver wire. I hope I got him for fantasy.
All right.
We'll see.
I think a lot of people tried to get him on that waiver wire. Yeah.
Hopefully you did it before the second touchdown, because I think by that point, that's when it started to go
crazy.
Everybody's
like, Allen Hurns, who?
Yeah. No, Blythe, I mean, it really was a tale of two halves. But I think you take away some positives from it. There were things that obviously need to get better, but there were some things that were good, too.
I think one of the shining moments for me was the offensive line play. It was talked about all season long that it was going to be a pain point for us, but it was surprisingly good. Hurns was another, the two touchdowns in the first quarter was really great to see. Felt like a real NFL franchise for a second, and then it was back to reality. As a Jaguar fan, you're kind of used to it, and we were cautiously optimistic watching the game, and it was like, something bad has got to happen, and it did. So it was
our dang intro song. We're gonna have to change that.
Well, I think people know me pretty well that I'm a glass half full kind of girl when it comes to the Jags. All you have to do is just listen to my picks every week throughout the course of the regular season to know that. I never pick against Jacksonville. It was obviously frustrating giving up a 17-point lead. You're in complete control heading into the half. The last thing you want to do is put your foot on the brake, take your foot off the gas pedal, but that's exactly what happened. But I'm still overall encouraged by a lot of things that we saw on Sunday. First off, all the talk during the offseason was how improved this defensive line was going to be, and I think that they showed that. Sendarek Marks picked up right where he left off. Chris Clemens is a playmaker. This defense had five sacks?
Franchise record, five sacks.
Five sacks.
And three turnovers in the first half.
I mean, you think about how many sacks they had last year as a team. I think it was, 29 and a half? Maybe somewhere around
there. Isn't the five more than, like, the total of a few years ago?
No.
It seems like that.
It did seem like that.
God, that would be horribly depressing.
That's what I remember.
It feels that way, though, because the Jaguars' defense, obviously, we know the past couple seasons, they've struggled to both put pressure on the quarterback, affect the run, and the sacks total has been one of the lowest in the league. So I think it was encouraging to see that. I think it's tough when you put your defense on the field as much as you did in the second half. That was eventually going to take a little bit of a toll. But it was really two explosive plays that really took away, I think, from the defense overall. Those are guys that owned up to their missed assignments. On that fourth and one, on the Darren Sproles touchdown run, the Jaguars obviously were not set on defense. Gus Bradley took responsibility for not calling timeout. So I don't want to miss the overall improvements to the defense just because of a few explosive plays that were given up. And then offensively, I think you guys hit it. The rookie receiver in Allen Hurns, boy, he showed during the course of the preseason that maybe he is the real deal. And that just carried over to this first game. And the offensive line, Blythe, you said it. I think they, for how concerned you were heading in, I think they were okay. I think they were okay. And speaking of the offensive line, I caught up with Zane Beatles yesterday. Here's what he had to say as far as what this offense takes away after watching the film from the game against Philadelphia.
Watching the film, there's a lot of chances out there. Obviously, we didn't run the ball like we'd want to. The opportunities to do it are there. You know, it's finishing a block here and hitting an aiming point here. And, you know, it's all 11 of us on the field working together to get that done.
Jaguars obviously struggled to establish the run. Lauren certainly didn't help that Toby Gerhart got banged up on what was really a nasty horse collar.
The thing that surprised me most was not that we didn't establish the run after that horse collar. It was more that he was able to get up and walk. When they replayed that and I saw that, I really thought, there's no way. That's an ACL and an MCL easily. You cannot bend your leg like that and just walk away. And so when he started to kind of get up and walk on it, I was really impressed. I mean, that cat is tough. And of course, it's not all Toby's fault in the least that he couldn't get anything going. He's got to get a push from the offensive line up front. And you said you caught up with Zane Beatles, and I've heard a couple different people who know far more about offensive line than I'll ever know say that he got a little bit abused in that game. And so I think that's what we want to look for, is the individual play on the offensive line, which I will never recognize. I'll just say that.
Until we start watching film with Lagerman, which he's
true.
Promised he's going to let
Absolutely.
Us do.
Absolutely. As long as we bring buttery popcorn.
That was
yeah,
that was the one requirement.
So there's my concern is actually less Toby Gerhart and the offensive line and more who's going to back him up if something does happen to Toby. If, let's say, that was a high ankle sprain or a knee injury, can Denard Robinson or Jordan Todman really carry the load of a down after down back? They're not big enough, in my opinion. And so that's the one thing I'm wondering if we're kind of searching maybe along the waiver wire for another running back.
Luckily, it turned out to just be an ankle sprain. Yeah,
right.
It could have been a lot worse. And I talked to Toby yesterday. He said that surprisingly, 24 hours after the injury, he felt better, a lot better than he thought he would. So that's good news. But the rookie receiver, Allen Hurns, here is Hurns on how it felt playing in his first regular season professional game.
I treated like the first preseason game. You know, I felt the same as from when I went out there from the first week playing Tampa Bay. So I was pretty calm.
What about his confidence level? He's been building that confidence since the very beginning.
You know, it started from OTAs to when we got into camp, you know, going into this week, you know, Coach Fish, he did a great job of explaining the game plan, and Coach Sullivan going over our techniques and things like that. So they did a good job preparing us for it.
D-Murph, are you surprised at how well Allen Hurns played in his first regular season NFL game?
I was so impressed, you know, to be undrafted and like that and come in and make such an impression right off the bat. It's so, I want to say heartwarming just to know that there's so much talent out there and it doesn't get shown enough in the draft room, you know, on draft day, anything like that. I mean, look at somebody like Jadeveon Clowney, stud we know from 2 years ago. Now he's out 6 weeks, but likely, you know. But here's someone who no one ever heard of, no one ever talked about. And now he's probably going to be the most popular fantasy pick right now.
Well, and it goes to show you that the scheme is so important. Allen Hurns got to play under Jed Fish at Miami. So, therefore, he was able to come in and know the offense really well. And so I start to wonder in my general manager mind that, you know, I have, how many other guys have played for offensive, you know, and defensive coordinators that we have that maybe are out there next year that might not be drafted that we can pluck from the crop and shove them in there and then expect touchdowns out of them or sacks.
Despite how well Allen Hurns played, you still want to see a guy like Cecil Shorts get back. He brings not only playmaking abilities to the field, but also a leadership role. Marquise Lee mentioned that. He said that it was tough not having Cecil Shorts on this trip.
Very tough, you know, because you come to situations where you have questions that you need vets that have been in that situation before. You know, I got caught up in a couple of coverages I was kind of confused on that, you know, that I know Cecil would be able to help me on that he wasn't there for. But, you know, hopefully we have him this weekend out there in Washington.
Hopefully, Blythe, they do have Cecil this weekend. You want so desperately to see it. To see his circumstances improve. I mean, he's been battling injuries on and off throughout the course of his career here.
And hamstrings are such a tough thing because once you injure one, you're so ginger to that one that oftentimes you do see that the other one does end up getting injured within a year or so. So it's really going to be a strong point for Cecil to get back and show that veteran leadership on the sidelines.
And we had Chanel, you know, with us a couple of weeks ago, Cecil's wife, and we kind of asked her, Jessica, after the show, gosh, those injuries must be so tough emotionally on both you and Cecil. And she said the moment that something happens to his body, they get down on their knees at night and pray to the God that those injuries heal quickly and that he's able to get back out there because that's the one thing that he wants to do. So I can only imagine how frustrated he must be and, of course, Chanel must be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be tough on both of them. Well, hopefully the Jaguars will have him back for this Sunday's game against Washington. That is up in D.C. They will take on the Redskins at 1 o'clock. They have an opportunity. That's a winnable game. It's tough being on the road, but I think that's a winnable game. RG3 has not had a huge vote of confidence so far from Jay Gruden. If the defense can play well again, if maybe whatever rhythm is established offensively in that first half can carry over to the second. All right, guys, let's play a complete game. Let's split these first two. All right, when we do return, it's tough to continue talking about this Ray Rice incident with his now wife, Janae. But after seeing the video yesterday, obviously strong opinions from all of us here at Helmets and Heels, but we also want to hear from you. What are your thoughts after seeing this new video that came out? What are your thoughts on the way that the NFL has handled it? Give us a call at 641-1010. That's 641-1010. We want to hear from you on this Ray Rice situation. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We have to give major credit to General Manager Stephen Griffin for the lovely playlist that we have tonight.
I didn't know Steve Griffin was an En Vogue fan.
He is a serious En Vogue fan, and also, just to give a little preview, Salt-N-Pepa fan as well.
Salt-N-Pepa I can roll with. That's my go-to karaoke song is What a Man. But
really?
Yeah.
I don't even need
the monitor. I don't even need the words. I'm just like, just let me roll with it.
I need
it
to see that.
Oh, you'll see it. Trust me. All right, boy. I wish we had a more uplifting topic to talk about. This started last week when the NFL put new procedures in place and updated their domestic abuse policy. But, boy, after seeing the new video evidence of what happened in that elevator between Ray Rice and his wife, Janae, Donna, it is horribly disturbing, to say the least.
I didn't want to watch it. I haven't seen the video after everybody was talking about it. I'm like, it's just something that doesn't, you know, appease me. I don't want to look at it. But I did, just so that we had our research. And it's unfortunate. And I don't like that every site is constantly showing it. I don't like that every station will constantly show it over and over again. But what I do know is that because we were in here, before the show, that CBS News aired the interview with Roger Goodell, asking him about the video. Why haven't you seen it? What was the issue? So I'm really interested to see. I want to look back at that when our show
and
is over.
What and
I
want to
get all the answers from that.
Right, because, Blythe, to me, that's what's so confusing, is you see that the NFL claims they did request the video, and then you see that Adam Schefter has sources that say they absolutely saw the video, and then you see the NFL has people saying that we didn't know the video existed. It's like everyone's got a different story, but they're all representing the same side. And you wonder what really was going on with the NFL. Did they have this video evidence? And if so, it just makes it look how they handled it that much worse.
To me, it's complete BS that I think that they never saw that video. If they didn't see it, it's because they didn't want to. To me, it was a cover-up from the very beginning. They wanted to portray it as a sweep-it-under-the-rug type situation. They didn't respond. They only responded to the outcry. They didn't react and sort of set up measures that would protect women and children and anybody else that's involved in domestic violence. It really put a... It shined a light on the league and their lack of leadership from top to bottom. And it was just really frustrating from a fan perspective, a female fan perspective, that we are not respected as far as it when it comes to preventive measures that the NFL would take.
And Lauren, Roger Goodell has been known for being a disciplinarian. I mean, one thing he's really strived is to try and clean up the league. How big of a tarnish on his reputation do you feel this is? I mean, the way that this has all been handled.
If it can be proven that he saw it, let's say if Ray Rice's attorneys were there when he saw it, or, you know, because I was trying to figure out how could you prove whether or not Goodell saw it, but I suppose there are ways. So if it's proven that he saw it, I don't understand if he is able to keep his job. I don't understand why. No one in that position of power should be able to view something as disgustingly horrifying as that was and be able to say, okay, you're only going to get a 2-game suspension. So in my mind, there's no way Goodell saw it. There's no way that you can legitimately give someone who smoked weed a 4-game suspension and someone who cold clocked a woman to the point where she could have died a 2-game suspension.
And then dragged her out of an elevator like
right. And
a
so
caveman.
The biggest point that I made when I saw the video was there's no way that's the first time that this has happened, because Ray Rice would have immediately, whether or not for her, whether or not he even cared about her, he would have looked at her and said, oh my gosh, I might have just killed her, and tried to protect himself, right? So he didn't do any of that. Obviously, he just stood there, kind of glanced at her, and then kicked her, and then kind of half-dragged her out because he thought someone else was coming on. So in my opinion, they have a very, very volatile relationship. They've probably been through this several times, and that's why he didn't react more, I guess, concerned, because he's like, oh, you know what? This has happened before. She'll wake up in a few minutes.
641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in on the Ray Rice situation. We have a couple of callers. Let's go ahead and talk to Paul. Paul, you're on Helmets and Heels. What do you make of this Ray Rice NFL Roger Goodell fiasco?
Well, first of all, I agree with all of you ladies. And I want to say this. I think the video shows that he has no remorse. That's what I saw when I saw the video. Anybody right. that can see that is absolutely not a man. So that's first and foremost. Second, I don't like the fact that the owner of the Ravens sent the head coach out there to deal with this media today. And he should have been present. He should have been up there with him on the podium. I just don't like the way it's been handled. And I think that they have covered it up because it is a casino tape. Tell me somebody didn't show up the next day in NFL gear to go take a look at the tape. Somebody saw this. So I think we'll find that out, and hopefully the accountability will go up all the way to where it's supposed to go. You guys have a great day.
Thanks so much for the phone call, Paul. The first thing that I want to comment on is how the Ravens handled the situation. Jamel Hill from ESPN sent out a tweet yesterday saying the Ravens should not be applauded for how they're handling this situation, and I completely agree with her. I mean, I want to give them credit for parting ways with Ray Rice, but why wasn't this further investigated by both the NFL, by both the Ravens? Everybody seemed to just be okay, Blythe, with a 2-game suspension and then moving on.
And I think that's one of the bigger points. Is it's not necessarily the crime, because the crime is between them two. That's their business, whatever they work out. But it's the cover-up. From top to bottom, from February on, the league has gone out of their way to brush this under the rug. And it only was the public outcry that they actually responded to the 2-game suspension and then the further 6-game suspension and the ban for life.
641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Nick, you're on Helmets and Heels.
Hey, how you doing tonight? I agree with everything that you guys are saying. I would just say the way that they're handling it right now is pathetic. It's, you know, it should automatically – I know there's, like, laws in place for – because you just never know if somebody says, yeah, he hit me and there's no proof. But obviously right. there's proof. And to see a video – like, it's for us to see a video, for them not to see the video is ridiculous. I think that – the NFL definitely saw the video. It's one of those things. I mean, think about it this way. If you put yourself in the NFL's position, like, that's what I try to do. Like, what would I do in that position? If I haven't seen the video, okay, automatically you get the 2-game suspension until we see what else is out there. And then you see the video, and now you're like, well, crap, he's done. Or do you say, okay, well, do we just try to brush this under the rug like we do everything else? Because that's the way the NFL, to me, is brought up. Anytime somebody, like an NFL player, thinks he's invincible, he can do whatever he wants and he gets away with it. So that's how I view it. Like, the NFL is like, kind of like, well, let's see what comes of it. You know, we'll see what happens. And if it gets a lot of outcry, then that's when we'll step in. And I think that's what's happening. Now they're like, oh, crap, we waited too long. And obviously it's going to backtrack on them.
All right, thanks for the call, Nick. Donna, there's been so much confusion as to why this video didn't come out sooner. And, you know, law enforcement is saying this could have been a piece of evidence had there been charges filed against Ray Rice, so they couldn't legally release the video to the NFL, even though the NFL claims that they requested it. Just a lot of confusion on the way that this has been handled and how the NFL didn't follow up further after they were denied the request the first time.
Not following up is, I mean, that's definitely a black mark on them, obviously. And they know that and they admitted that. But, I mean, just, I really don't, maybe it's because I don't want to believe, I really don't believe that Roger Goodell saw this and said, well, only a 2-game slap.
Right.
I just don't get it.
Right.
I don't see it. I don't buy it one bit. What I don't understand is the security guard that was outside the elevator, the person that's behind the TV screen watching what's going on, what happened to them, why did they not fix anything? Because what we are told is the security guard said, she's drunk, right? No cops. That's all we know. That was it. That's what I've seen, and I don't understand how those people are not faced out in front of the public apologizing.
And I've gotten to the point now, especially working in the media and being around this nonstop, it seems like, for the last 36 hours, I almost don't even care what happened that led us to this point. I'm getting kind of, you know, just into that point where I just really am sick of the story of the backside of it. NFL will fix it, right? Hopefully going forward. What I'm caring most about now is whether or not they're ever going to let him play again. Because if they let Ray Rice play again, they are sending a message to every single male out there that it is okay to hit a woman, and all you have to do is your penance for it, and then you'll be rewarded by being able to do exactly what you had always been doing.
I'll play a little bit of a devil's advocate on this one. Michael Vick, what he did, I think, was horrendous.
And if those dogs could talk, I bet you, and if there was video of that, I bet you he would
never
play again.
Oh, there was video of it. There was video.
That we all got to see.
But Michael Vick had the chance to redeem himself, and he served prison time, and he's done a lot on the behalf of animal rights organizations and bringing awareness to putting a stop to dog fighting, had a chance to redeem himself, and now he's back in the league. Does Ray Rice deserve the chance to go to counseling and deserve the chance to maybe speak on behalf of women's organizations and bring awareness to this and then get his second shot in the NFL?
In my opinion, no. And I think if the victims of Michael Vick were able to speak out, there's no way he ever would have been allowed back in. The problem is a lot of those were animals and they had died. So obviously animals can't talk either. But if they had been able to. And it's interesting here because Ray Rice's victim, so to speak, is not actually going against him. She apologized, and now she's going on Instagram.
She's sorry for what she did to bring it on.
And today she said, you know, I can't believe this is back out in the media. You're making me relive the worst experience, and this is my family, and we'll handle it, that kind of stuff. But I just don't think that it sends the right message to kids. And nor do I think that the Michael Vick thing sent the right message to kids either. I'm all about forgiveness. I can forgive anyone for what they've done. But if you let them play again, then you're sending the wrong message out there.
All right, let's go back to the phone line, 641-1010. Kenny, you're on Helmets and Heels. Kenny, what are your thoughts on the Ray Rice situation, the way the NFL has handled it?
Well, first of all, the NFL has completely botched it from the word go. But number two, I got to go to bat for Ray a little bit here. You said that on Michael Vick, his victims couldn't speak. Ray's victim did speak and said she was as much at fault as he was. What I heard this morning on the satellite was she spit in his face in the elevator. Now, if you were standing there with her in that elevator and she spit in your face, would you have be calm, cool, and collected enough not to clock her?
I would spit back in her face, perhaps, but there's no way on earth I would ever, even as a female, I would never hit another female, and as a male, I would absolutely never hit another woman. Under any circumstances.
And thinking of it that way, that brings me to the Jay-Z, Beyonce, and her sister video. I mean, she is kicking and slapping Jay-Z nonstop, Beyonce's sister, and he is doing nothing. So men have the right to not fight back, or they choose to, would do what they want to do. Like
and
Rice
men
did.
Have the right to defend themselves
yes.
in situations where harm is being presented to them. But I think what's more disturbing to me, and I've said this today, what's even more disturbing to me than the punch is the way that he carelessly
yes.
handled her afterwards, as if it was not a big deal whatsoever, that he just knocked her out. Her body was completely limp and being dragged out of the elevator like she was an animal that he had just shot or something like that. I mean, there was a complete disregard for her well-being altogether.
I feel like if that security guard said, you know what, I'll handle it, he would have walked away. He would have just walked
yeah.
away and been like, cool.
Yes. Yeah.
And the caller that Kenny that just called us brought up the point of, you know, this victim could speak. There is also the possibility that she's dealing with what a lot of abused women deal with. And so she thinks it's her fault because she's getting hit. I don't know that that's the case for them. It's my opinion that they probably just have one of those relationships where they kind of beat up on each other. And that's how they handle their anger. But I have no idea. That's just what I assume based off of reading and listening mm-hmm. and watching. So it to me, though, it's just I cannot send, as Roger Goodell, I could not send the message that this is okay. And if Ray Rice has to be the sacrificial lamb, and if going forward we have another NFL player who...
We do, Ray McDonald.
With, right, but I was going to say, if we have another NFL player in the future who is involved with dogfighting, and if they're never allowed to play again, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying this is not acceptable just because someone else in the past was allowed as a, you know, let's say the Ray Lewis situation. Just because he was allowed to play again doesn't mean that the next time this happens, we have to allow it.
All right, let's try and fit in a couple more phone calls. Todd, you're on Helmets and Heels.
Hey, you know, I don't think we really need to see the video in order, the punch of the video, to be upset about the whole situation, because we saw all the way back in February what it was. And like you were saying, to see how he handled her, I mean, do you have to see the punch to know that she was hit in the face and that she was already passed out anyways in order to say that this happened? So the NFL may have been wrong from the beginning, and then now everybody's up in arms after they see what really happened, but we already knew what happened. I mean, we're adults. You know what I'm saying?
I think initially you're right. We don't need to see the video of the attack. But from the very beginning, the NFL has held this stance that it was a push. It was an accident that she hit her head on the railing. That they have systematically, from the very beginning, covered this up and tried to brush it under the rug as if it was a minor incident. It was just a couple's quarrel. Because that's originally what I thought. I saw the video of her being dragged out of the elevator. I assumed she was wasted.
That's exactly what I thought.
And I thought, well, I mean, he's probably just frustrated and wants to carry her up to the room. But that wasn't the case at all. The video made a world of difference. And if anything, this video does shine a light on the hundreds of cases that we don't have a video for. And it brings domestic violence to a realization for everyone. It puts a visual to something that is very hard to visualize if you've never been in that situation.
I mean, the rumors were out there. Like he says, everybody knew it. Well, we didn't know it. You didn't see it. Some people were just speculating. And until you actually see it, then you know the truth. So I was just like you all. I thought, okay, well, she was, you know, wasted and hit her head. All right. He doesn't look like he's trying to help her much, but still.
And going back to the incidents that everyone likes to bring up, like you said, Jessica, for devil's advocacy, honestly, if social media had existed when Michael Vick and had been as prominent then as it is now, I wonder if he would have been allowed back in the league. It's just people now that never had a voice before are obviously speaking very loudly on these types of topics.
I think that the difference between Michael Vick and Ray Rice is that Michael Vick was still a darn good quarterback whenever
right.
he got out of jail. Ray Rice had an off year last year. It was probably, I think, one of the worst rushing years in Baltimore
averaged,
history.
Averaged, I think, 3.3 yards per carry. Right.
Abysmal. And if he does get to the point where he is reinstated back into the NFL, he's going to be 29, 30 years old, and no team is going to want to take a risk, a PR risk, and a health risk on a 30-year-old running back.
And I don't want it to come to that, me personally. I want them to say, you're banned for life, and this is the example that we're setting. And when you do these egregious things, you're not going to be getting an NFL paycheck. Period. End of discussion. That's what I want to see happen.
All right, let's wrap real quick. Let's fit Lenny in. Lenny, you're on Helmets and Heels.
Hey. Hey, ladies. Great show. A couple things. You know, what bothers me the most about all this is I love NFL football. I enjoy it so much. And it just seems like every year there's, whether it's Michael Vick or that football player that was
Hernandez,
and then the one that was picked on for sexual preference. I mean, it's getting out of hand. And I don't know whether. I mean, if the NFL is not going to come out and punish these people, there are some legal ramifications here that can be taken. And why isn't that happening? Why aren't these people going to court? I mean, I know Michael Vick did, and he did some jail time. I think they ought to line these guys up and let the cheerleaders just spit on them and punch them. Just.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Lenny. I like your heart. I like where you're coming from. But, you know, and it does bring up a problem. It does bring up an issue. I mean, we've seen on occasions, the name is escaping me right now, but who's the player that killed someone driving under the influence?
Josh Brent.
It was a couple years ago. Dante Stallworth. Yeah, thank you, country. Killed someone while driving drunk, and I think basically got off with a slap on the wrist. And it's
but that one wasn't that one. You know, he actually, I know he was drunk, but the person just walked right out in front of him. I think that was that one. I understand why he was back in. I get that one.
But
the
like
Josh Brent issue, you know, obviously,
right.
Yeah. You know, Hernandez, clearly, never in the league again.
Case
you know,
by
we
case
understand.
Basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but this is finally where the NFL has an opportunity to really take a strong stance.
For the third time.
Moving forward. And
so
yes.
So do you, Janae.
They screwed it up hardcore. I think they have botched the whole thing. Roger Goodell admitted he made a mistake. He made a huge mistake. The Ravens made a mistake. The NFL made a mistake. But this is really an opportunity to really get it right moving forward. Lauren, like you said, how we got to this point, we're at this point now. So what can we do moving forward? We'll see. And hopefully we'll see domestic abuse, any type of abuse, whatever it is that the NFL is going to crack down, hopefully we will see a decline. When we do return, we're going to get back to the NFL, but we're going to talk about how we did picking against the spread last week. Spoiler alert, Blaylock rules. This is Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. You are listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. It is brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Any of your jewelry needs, you need to check out Underwoods. They are going to get you taken care of, whether it's an engagement ring, whether it's a watch for a high school graduation. Go see Underwood Jewelers. They are the best in the business. All right, so I kind of spoiler alerted our picks with Blaylock rules, but really I did awful as well. I was just kind of the
you
best.
Hit 500.
I was the best in what was a horrible clubhouse.
Dude, we all knew we were not going to be that good at it because it's the first week. You don't know who's going to play well. Who on earth? I mean, honestly, who on earth had the Bills beating the Bears? That one.
Not me.
Which I'm happy that the Bills won. Don't get me wrong. However, I was not planning on that when it came to my picks contest. I will say, though, to be that really annoying person, that I went 3-0 in my fantasy leagues where I drafted, and I did go 0-1 in the only league that was auto-draft. But that does not count because I did not pick the players.
Well, helmets
so
and
I'm
heels
calling
won.
Myself 3-0.
Yeah, we
right,
did.
Including helmets and heels.
Yeah,
right.
We did.
However, this time around, I know that I will actually listen to
your own advice.
Yes.
Because Deemer called it.
I will tell you it's going to be a close game and Tom Brady does not play well in Miami. However, I still went with New England, which was
Homer,
a moron move. I will also tell you Buffalo is good for the first few weeks, but I still didn't pick them. So,
that game. Right, so give us crazy. A quick recap on how we did.
Jessica, you did end up 500, so you were 8-8. Blythe was second, 7-9. And then Lauren, you and I are in the basement, 6-10.
That's right. And next week you're not going to be here, so I guess you're going to have to submit your picks to us.
I will.
Via Skype, so that way we know you're not cheating.
Actually, real quick, there's a pretty cool event coming up next week, right, Lauren?
There is. Jessica and I are the honorary guests. I'm just kidding. We're not really honorary guests. I just thought that sounded cool.
That does sound cool, so go with it.
But we are going to attend the 6th annual Fries with That Wine. And so we would love to see everybody come out and hang out with us. I mean, who doesn't want wine tasting paired with fast food favorites like French fries and cheeseburgers? I mean, honestly, if someone was asking Jessica her most favorite things, the only thing that would be missing is chocolate.
I would just like
so
to
I'll
say
bring chocolate in the car.
That I know my eventual downfall in this world is going to come from one of two things, chocolate
or french fries. Or cheese fries
or ice cream. Okay, so there's a couple options.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so tickets are $30. It's from 6 to 9 at the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field. So that is right here at the stadium in the Terrace Suite. And for those of you who have never been in it, it's really nice. Like I said, $30. You can get them at rmhcjacksonville.org. And the reason there's that RMHC is it benefits Ronald McDonald House Charities of Jacksonville. And they support the health and well-being of children. They take care of they have a 30-bedroom house. And then they care for families 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So they're doing some great things, and we are going to have a blast there. And then we're going to jet right on over from Fries with That Wine to the Thursday Night Rush at Jerry's. So come and hang out with us at either place or both. It's going to be a busy night. I say both, too.
I say both. Good food, even better cost.
So we can't wait.
My one question to you, will the Hamburglar be there?
I am sure the Hamburglar will be there.
The Hamburglar,
fingers
absolutely.
Crossed.
Right?
Absolutely.
Or Grimace.
Grimace, too. Everybody loves them. Man.
I thought your question was going to be, how many fries will Blaylock eat? Because I was going to give the over-under on that one on 5.
And I'd take the over.
And by 5, I don't mean 5 fries.
We're talking like 5 packs.
5 packs.
Okay, that's what. And I'll still take the over. All right. Speaking of taking the over, let's get back to our NFL picks.
Over-under.
Before
yeah.
I reveal really just how much bad food I eat in my life on a daily basis.
Well, so the listening audience knows that we are still making all the picks for all of week 2. However, we're just going to go over a few games. To not bore everybody right now.
Well, that we ran a little over with our, yes. You know, Ray Rice passion on the topic.
But we will start with the Thursday night game, Pittsburgh in Baltimore. Pittsburgh is going to get 2.5. Jessica.
I don't see Baltimore dropping 2 straight, so give me the Ravens.
Ravens, Blythe.
I'm going to go the Ravens, too. I think those guys just want to get on the field and escape from everything that's going on off the field. So I'm picking Baltimore.
And you and I go last. So, Lauren?
Absolutely, we go last. I'm going against Baltimore. And the reason for that is I think because of all the off-the-field stuff, they just don't have their heads straight. I mean, obviously, Coach Harbaugh had to be involved in all of it. So that took away time from his coaching. And also, I just don't want to pick the Ravens. So give me the Steelers, please.
Hopefully, you and I get out of the basement.
All right.
Because I am right there with you.
Or
Pittsburgh.
We go farther into it.
Antonio Brown, they look scary good this year. So I'm really excited. I'm going
with
Pittsburgh.
Well,
I'm not
Browns
excited,
come
but
back
yeah.
against them. That, ugh.
Well, we're going to go, Lauren, you and I are going to go Pittsburgh. We're going to save Jacksonville for later. Move on down to Dallas in Tennessee. Oh, the Cowboys getting 3.5. Jess.
I am clearly crazy because my, like, upset pick was for Dallas to win the NFC East. What was I thinking?
You
oh,
went
my.
With Romo?
Gosh, I know. And then Tennessee, I think, shocked everyone. I did not have Tennessee
including me.
Winning more than, like, 2 or 3 games this season. I have no faith after one game in Dallas, so give me the Titans.
Blythe.
I'm going to go Dallas on this one. I think that last week was hopefully a fluke because Tony Romo is my starting quarterback in one of my fantasy leagues. So, and I also think that Tennessee's win last week was a fluke. I refuse to believe in them, so give me Dallas.
Lauren?
I never pick the Cowboys. Give me the Titans.
You are all alone on that island again, Mike.
I hate the Titans. I'll never pick them.
All alone. Justin Hunter all day. So I am going Tennessee as well. How about Houston traveling over to the West Coast to face Oakland? And the Raiders will be getting 3. Jess.
All right, come on. Oakland just lost to the Jets. Houston. Boy, I hate that they are now 1-0. Whatever. Just give me the Texans.
Simply put.
I know.
Blythe?
I'm going to go Houston. I think that defense is too tough for a rookie quarterback and that O-line that is atrocious. So give me Houston.
Lauren?
I think that might be the first whatever that has been dropped on helmets and heels. And I just needed to point that out before I gave my pick. Thank you. I thought the Raiders were going to stink this season. I still think the Raiders are going to stink this season. I'm going Houston, even though they are lacking their defensive end, Jadeveon Clowney.
None of us are going with the Mojo Raiders. So, all with Houston. The Monday night game will be Philadelphia in Indianapolis. With Indy coming off that tough loss, we have the Eagles getting 3 points. Jess?
I'm mad at the Eagles, so give me Indianapolis.
You spoiled our party!
I feel like I should start coin flipping these. It'll just be the same way. Blythe.
I'm going to go Philly. I mean, that was 27 unanswered points, I believe, for Philly that scored. And so with Indianapolis only getting 3, give me Philly.
Of course, Donna made us pick the hardest games that are all like 3-point spreads and less, which really means that Vegas is saying they're almost pick'em games. Thanks a lot, Donna.
And hey, Miami was -1. We didn't have to pick that one.
That's true. That's because she's mad at Miami.
yes.
But so
all know who's going to win.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
Buffalo.
I think that in the first half, they worked out a lot of their issues. And in the second half, they came alive. That's what they're really going to look like this season. So give me Chip Kelly. Nick Foles, who's in some of my fantasy leagues, and the Eagles, please.
You say that like he's dreamy.
No. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Really funny. Just a quick aside. The girl I was watching the game with, my friend Megan, she goes, Nick Foles looked like his mom cut his hair.
That is
and I absolutely
fantastic.
Loved that line because that's when we were up 17-0, and I was like, suck it, Foles. You look like your mom cut your hair. And so, yeah, that was my shining moment until.
So, see an insight into how women watch football.
Absolutely.
You look like you got your hair cut by your mom.
Great line, Megan.
We're going to split this one between Philly and Indy. I, too, will pick Indianapolis, Jess. I know Philly's run game. I'm really hoping Indy can stop it. However,
Shady.
Man, that was a tough loss for Indy. So I'm gonna
shady that only leaves a 20-cent tip on a $60 bill.
That's why
pretty
it's shady.
That is.
But Darren Sproles was good too. Yeah, that's a hard run game to stop.
All right, we're gonna end it with Jacksonville going up to Washington, and we have the Jags getting 5.5. Girl, we're moving on. I don't
know
why.
Who did I circle on? Come on, who did I circle on?
I don't know why
I
didn't already have that written down.
Give me Jacksonville.
I think Washington is using RG3 in all the wrong ways, so give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, 2 for 2.
Lauren?
Well, I'm never going to climb out of the basement by picking the Jags. However, I can't pick against them either. The two things that do scare me about the Redskins, Pierre Garçon, I like saying it like that, and DeSean Jackson. So I don't think, though, that they're going to be able to win. So give me the Jags, please.
I thought you were going to surprise me there.
I know, I'm all over
the
place.
Be the only one out on the limb, but
I can't.
I'm not. I'm really hoping Jacksonville can win outright. I'm not too sure, but I do believe that they will be within the spread of 5.5. So here's hoping.
Here is hoping. That's 4 for 4.
I feel like
4.
We should cheers on that.
I know. Just call it now. We believe that we will win.
Absolutely we do.
All right. Go Jags. No bias on this show whatsoever.
We're dressed to the kilt.
When we do return, we will check in with Richard Miller. Miller on Sports is next. You are listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM. This is Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We got a little shoulder bouncing in studio.
I don't normally rock out to Destiny's Child.
Why not?
Or in Vogue.
Because it's not the 90s?
That's okay, though.
Can we play some NSYNC?
I think he's choosing these songs because obviously it's all about strong women power.
Get some salt and pepper? Did I miss?
I believe the playlist was a little expanded for how many slots we had time for. That's how much effort that Steve put into it. I believe we ran out of time this week, but we'll be able to use them next
week.
Yeah,
just as long as I know that salt and pepper is on the way in some way, shape, or form.
Blythe and I are requesting some NSYNC for next week.
Oh, even though I won't be here.
How whatever, is that women power?
Yeah, whatever NSYNC song was about empowered women. If we're making '90s requests, can I throw in whatever Dave Matthews song is about?
What about Bye Bye Bye?
That's true.
What about It's Gonna Be Me?
That works.
See, they're all good.
I have
all of them.
I have zero
digital
comment
digital
get down on digital. Any of I wonder what Richard Miller's thinking right now.
I only know that song because I totally made fun of it before any rumors start to fly about my music credibility.
Richard, do you have any idea what boy bands we're talking about in these songs?
Are we talking NSYNC, 98 Degrees? Which ones are we touching on?
Wait, Richard, do you have digital get down on your iPod?
iPod or iPad? Because I have neither. So maybe the iWatch at some point. Maybe.
Yeah, you don't strike me as an NSYNC kind of guy. That's probably for the best. Oh, Richard, we obviously got a lot into the Ray Rice situation ever since the new video surfaced. I tell you, it's about as disturbing a video I've seen in a really long time.
Very much so, but did you see yet the snippets of Roger Goodell in a CBS News interview when he's talking about he did not yet see the video and everything? It's just looking into his eyes and seeing that furrowed brow of his. I just can't believe that the NFL had not seen that video and had pursued it up into a point and was like, well, we can't do it. It's the NFL. I'm sure they easily could have acquired that video.
Yeah, it's just all around a very, very convoluted, just I think there are a lot more layers to this than what we even realize right now.
Well, I'd say like the sad passing of Robin Williams, where suicide prevention and the discussion got out there. Hopefully as well with this and Ray Rice that we start talking more about domestic violence, domestic abuse, and you know, and stop being afraid to discuss it and realize that the implications are not just on the victims, but their families, and these things can last for years and years.
Right, right. What you got coming up on the show tonight?
We'll have a lot of fun, of course, Jaguars-Redskins. I think it's a very winnable game, even more so than against the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk to Alan Verlander. College football, kind of get a view of what's to come with the Tax Slayer Bowl and what's going on in Jacksonville. Also, plenty of Jacksonville Suns talk because they're just a few games away from a championship.
Yeah, whoop, congratulations whoop to the Jacksonville Suns. Love it.
I know. No better night than going down to the baseball grounds. That's just a fun evening.
Yeah, it really is. I have very fond memories.
I hope to go one of the nights this weekend, either Friday or Saturday.
Me
or maybe
too.
Both.
Me
yeah,
too.
Good. We'll hang out.
Okay. All right. Sounds
good. Richard, have a good show.